Jesus, and we saw just how much he really did pray and all that went into it. So that I hope you took your notes home this week, took a look at those notes, and I am intent on becoming a better prayer. This morning we take a look in a different aspect of prayer, still involving Jesus. If you'll look at the sheet there. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. In that day, John 16, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I come from God. Heavenly Father, we do indeed believe that you do come from God, and you are the Son of God, and you have called us, Lord, to be your people. And I pray, Lord, I pray that we will be a people in this building, in this church, that lifts up your name constantly and continually, that we know the power of your name, that we know the power that you have, and we trust in you completely. Open our ears, Lord, this morning that we might hear the truth, and that we might take that in, and that we might make it part of our lives so that we might become more like Jesus in that. Amen. You may be seated. A mother took her 3-year-old son to the grocery store to do some shopping in the grocery store. And as she went in, because he was only 3, she put him in the cart, you know, to sit down nicely in the cart. And so she said before they went in, "Now, don't ask me to get you any chocolate chip cookies. You're not going to get any chocolate chip cookies today, so don't ask." And so they went shopping, they were going through, and they came to the aisle with cookies. And he said, "Mommy, can I have some chocolate chip cookies? And the mother said, "I told you, no chocolate chip cookies today." He said, "Ah." And so they continued shopping. And then they went to the bakery, the part of the bakery in the grocery store. And again, the boy was jumping, "Mommy, can I have some chocolate chip cookies? Didn't I just tell you? Now you be quiet and you settle down now." "Okay, Mommy." And then they went through the rest and they got their groceries and it was time to check out. And the little boy thought, "This is my last chance. This is it." And so he got very stiff and he yelled as loud as he could, "In the name of Jesus, can I have some cookies?" That day, that little boy went home with 23 boxes of cookies. And the reason was everybody around him, when he said that, began clapping and were laughing out loud that they went and bought cookies for him. And so he went home for the cookies. And of course, the question is, was it the prayer? Probably not. Probably not. But this morning, we're going to talk about praying in the name of Jesus. So if you would take out this sheet, turn it over, and hopefully you'll take some notes. And again, as I say every week, you'll take these out, take a look at them, and get these truths in your heart. Let me tell you what praying in Jesus' name is not. Praying in the name of Jesus is not a formula. And I think many times we Christians might be guilty of that. It's like over and out. Okay, just here's my prayers, over and out, Lord. And we tack on, in the name of Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I pray like that. But do you know the main reason why I pray like that? Do I add that typically or usually after a prayer? I add it because typically Christians think if you don't say that at the end, you're not a Christian. Right? Whenever we hear someone pray like that, but yet I'm going to tell you what that means. You can pray without tacking that on, although I will probably usually always tack it on unless I do something else. But let me show you. Let me show you what it really, really means. Oh, by the way, guess how many prayers in the New Testament end with the words, in Jesus' name? Can you guess?
None.
Aren't you surprised? Not one. Not one prayer in the New Testament ends with the words, in Jesus' name. However, you will find a couple instances in the New Testament where Jesus' name is invoked. Let me show you these. Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk. Wow. So he used it, not at the end, but kind of like at the beginning. That's not the way typically Christians would pray. They tack it always on the end. Here's another one. Paul, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. Driving out an evil spirit. And again, at the beginning. So it's okay if we pray that way. It's okay if we tack it on the end. But we need to understand really why and how we can do that. First, this is what it means. It means when you pray in Jesus' name, when you add in Jesus' name at the end of a prayer, at the beginning of a prayer, it means you have a relationship with Him. It means you have a relationship with Jesus. You have permission to use His name in making requests because you're related to Him. You're related to Him. And last week we spent a lot of time talking about the relationship between Jesus and His Heavenly Father. Well, He wants that same kind of relationship with us. The same kind of relationship. Do you remember the seven sons of Sceva in Acts chapter 19? Remember that? Some of you are saying, yes. Some of you are going, don't ask me that. Anyway, there were seven sons of Sceva that went around trying to cast out demons. Using in the name of Jesus. And you know what the demon said back to them? Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But I don't know who you are. They had no relationship. They had no relationship to Christ. And so nothing happened. And so one of the first and maybe the most important key is you have relationship. How's that relationship? How are things going with you and Jesus? How are things going with you? How are things going with you and your husband? Kind of like the same thing. How's it going? Have a big fight this morning? Big fight yesterday? How's the relationship? How is that? Well, the same thing is true. How's our relationship? Do I have a real relationship with Him? Last week, one of the verses that I put up was the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I said, typically, we will hold that the Word I took a look at was the Word with last week. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And that word with in the Greek comes from a word meaning facing. And what it means is Jesus was face to face with His Heavenly Father. It speaks of nearness and closeness. And so that verse tells us that Jesus not only was God and is God, but it tells us that He was in close relationship with His Heavenly Father. Using His name identifies you as a child. When you pray in His name, you are really saying, I am coming to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, who is my Lord and Savior, and I have a real relationship with Him. That's really what you're saying when you pray in His name. That's what's going on. That's why it's so important. How is the relationship? Second, it means that Jesus is your master. It means that Jesus is your master when you pray in His name. Everyone has some kind of master. It could be money. It could be maybe fame. You know, a lot of people, everybody wants to be famous today. It could be power. Power is your master. It could be drugs. It could be drink or booze. And a lot of people that have drugs and drink and booze as their master. A lot of people have money as their master. In the early church, it was really something for the early Christians to say this. Kurios Jesus. Kurios Jesus. We may say that, but not in the same way that they said it then. This is what it means. Jesus is Lord. It was a creedal statement then. It was a confession. They were saying, Jesus is Lord, and He's my Lord. Jesus is Lord, and He's my Lord. That's one of the things that really should speak of Christians and Christianity today, that Jesus is my Lord. Some years ago, maybe 15 to 20, 25 years ago, you saw a lot of things being written like this, that, well, as Christians, maybe you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, but not as your Lord yet. And I don't know if you've heard things like that or not, but that was quite popular some years ago, 15 to 20 years ago. Maybe you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, but not as your Lord. You can't separate them. If He's your Savior, He's your Lord. He's your Savior, He's your Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first, kingdom means rule and reign. Seek ye first the rule and reign of Christ in your life. Is He your master? I can't say that He's always my master, but I'll tell you this. When He isn't, I don't do this to myself, but I kind of go, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Get back in line. If we're living most of our lives like I'm going off on my own, that's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. Acts 2:36 says, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Both Lord, He's both Lord and the Anointed One and the Messiah. Third, it means to pray in harmony with His character. It means to pray in harmony with His character. Now, I've said this many, many times. A name in the Scriptures doesn't just have a name. You may have a name, and maybe your parents gave you a name. I love my name, Stephen. I love the name. I have a middle name that I hate. My middle name is, and I always go, Francis. Now, if you have me named Francis, please excuse me. But for me, I don't like my middle name, Francis. I always think, Francis? I remember asking him when I was a kid, how did I get the middle name Francis? And being raised a Catholic, they said, you were born on St. Francis Day. I said, okay, all right. But I always put the initial F. I never write out Francis. Never. But anyway, I don't know. For us, names don't mean that much. Although, you know what Stephen means? Crowned one. Crowned one. We named our son Stephen, and his middle name Adam. Adam means man, crowned man, happy. Veselich means happy. Veselich is Slavic. Vesely in Slavic is happy. So Stephen's name is Crowned Man Happy. What a great name, huh? What a great name. Crown that man happy. And he is. And Stephanie also. Stephanie, how'd they both get my name? Do you know what Stacy's real name is? I didn't plan on saying this. Stacy's real name is Anastasia. Isn't that beautiful? That's beautiful. But when she was a little girl, she didn't know that her name was Anastasia. And when she went to school, the teachers called out Anastasia, and Stacy didn't answer. And so she got her hand smacked, or she got her leg smacked by the teachers. When I call your name, she says, "I." Oh. And she went over and said, "How come you didn't tell me my name was Anastasia?" Anyway, that's all of that in Scripture. A name means something. It speaks of their character and nature. It speaks of a character and nature. For example, Jacob. You Bible scholars, Jacob means cheat. Cheat. Abraham means father of a multitude. And he is all who believe. All who believe. Abraham is their father. Andrew. Who? You know what Andrew means? You know what Andrew means? Manly. Andrew means manly. He was the first disciple to follow Jesus. He brought his brother Peter to him. Every time you see Andrew in the Gospel of John, guess what he's doing? Yes, bringing someone to Jesus. Now, he's a man. See, we have a view today in our culture of what a man is. Jesus has a completely different idea about a man. Andrew was a manly man in God's eyes. He was always bringing people to Jesus all the time. All the time. Jesus' name identifies his character. It identifies who he is. For example, we know that Emmanuel means God with us, and he was. That identified who he was. It means God with us. Jesus. Do you know what Jesus means? The Lord saves. That's what Jesus means. It identifies who he was and who he is. Does he save? Yes. Yes. The Lord saves. Jesus saves. And the fact that he does save. Why would we not want to go to him constantly? And when we pray, we're praying in harmony with his character because he came to save us. And he told us to pray to the Father in his name. In his name. Fourth, it means to bring glory to God. It means to bring glory to God. You may not have ever thought of this before as being important in prayer. Every time you pray, and you're praying with a sincere heart and praying with this understanding, you are bringing glory to God. You're bringing glory to God. The first question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. You're saying, huh? The first question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism is, what is the chief end of man? What is the chief end of man? Anybody know the answer to this? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That is the Westminster Shorter Catechism, the first question. Now, what do you think the chief, or maybe one of the chief purposes of prayer is? What if I told you one of the chief purposes of prayer was to bring glory to God? Would you believe me if I told you one of the chief purposes of prayer was to glorify God? We read it this morning. We read it this morning. John 14:13, we read it. Jesus is saying, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name so the Son may bring glory. What does Jesus want to always do? We always want to point to his Heavenly Father. To bring glory. When we pray, And when we pray to the Father in Jesus' name, we're bringing glory to Him. We're bringing glory to Him. And anytime we bring glory to our mighty God, we are pleasing Him greatly. Five, it means when we pray in Jesus' name to submit your will to His will. And that's tough. This is where we have a problem. This is where we have a problem. Because when we pray, we want God to answer it the way we want. And if He doesn't, we kind of go, what's the point? He's going to do what He wants anyway. He's going to do what He wants. But when I talk along these lines, I usually tell this story, and you may have heard it before. A little boy, about 4 or 5 years old, was going to sleep one night and was praying to his Heavenly Father and said, Lord, let me be able to do with my teeth what my grandfather can do. His grandfather had false teeth. Now, how silly would that be? No parent would want that to happen to his young child. And God does what only we feel that we know best. That's the issue, isn't it? We know best. There used to be a program on TV when I was a kid, Father Knows Best. Some of you are shaking your head. Father knows best. Isn't that true about God our Father? Father knows best. The problem is, when He doesn't answer it the way we want, we kind of, our faith weaken a little bit because we think we do know better. And we don't. We don't know better. When Jesus was in Gethsemane, He prayed three times. He prayed three times. He prayed three times that His Father would remove the cup of suffering from Him. Three times. Each time His Father said, no. And if you go back and you read that, Jesus answers in some form like this, not as I will, but as you will. Three times Jesus prayed, remove this cup of suffering from me. And each time His Father said, no. And each time in some form, not one like this, this is one, the other, in some other form of this, not as I will, but as you will. If you pray the Lord's Prayer, isn't that, thy will be done? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Aren't we asking God that? And then maybe we go like this, if God doesn't answer it, well, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean this prayer. I didn't mean this prayer. I meant, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Six, it means His name has authority. It means His name. When you pray in His name, it has authority. Again, some years back, there used to be police sitcoms on TV. You know, the sitcoms that were on police, and you'd often see policemen knocking, open up in the name of the law. Don't hear that too much anymore on any police sitcom. Open up in the name of the law. Notice they said, in the name of the law. They couldn't say, open up in the name of Jake. Open up in the name of Bob. Well, I wouldn't open my door for Bob. Never use Bob's name to do anything. Open up the door. Open up the door in the name of the law. They had the law behind them and the government behind them. You see the same thing with David and Goliath. Same principle. Same principle with David and Goliath. David is facing Goliath and he says, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. This day, the Lord will hand you over to me and I'll strike you down. Whew. Wow. Wow. David was saying, I'm not impressed with your height. That's what he was saying. I'm not impressed with your height. I'm not impressed with your strength. I'm not impressed with your weapons. I have the Lord. You don't have him, I do. Seven, it means to pray from a position. When you pray in the name of Jesus, you're praying from a position. Look at this. The word in, again, these little prepositions, so important. We usually dismiss them. The word in the name of Jesus. The word in is a preposition of position. And when applied in this context, contains what is called the ascension privilege. The ascension privilege. As a believer, in other words, this is what it means. As a believer, you have position in Christ. You have a high position in Christ. Sometimes, some of you may say to me, Pastor Steve, you pray for me because I know God answers your prayers more than he answers mine. That's not true. If we are his, and we have that relationship, we all have a position in him. We all have a position in him. Each of us, we have that position. At the court of the Roman emperors, there existed a very select group of men called friends of the king. This is true. The court of Roman emperors. Select group of men called friends of the king. They had access to their emperor any time they wanted. Any time they wanted, they had access to him. And because they were the friends of the king would grant to them what they asked because they were in that inner circle. They were in the inner circle. Guess what? We're in the inner circle. You're in that inner circle. I don't know about you, but I am. Am I in the inner circle by myself? Who's in the inner circle with me? Okay, what about the rest of you who didn't raise your hand? Come on, I know who you are. I took your names down in my head. Friends of the King, if you are saved, you are a friend of the King of Kings. Can you think of a greater friend than that? If you're saved, you're a friend of the King of Kings. During the Civil War, a family lived in Columbus, Ohio, and they had a son. His name was Charlie. Charlie decided to join the battle, and he went off to fight. And every so often, he would send a letter home to his mom and dad. And in this way, they stay connected with him. Every month or so, month and a half, a letter would come from Charlie. Then one day, the letter stopped. Several months went by. He did not get a letter. Another couple months went by. He did not get a letter. Then they got a letter from the government telling them that their son Charlie had been killed in battle. One day after the Civil War was over, a young man came knocking on the door. He was a ragged-looking man. And Charlie's father opened the door and said, "Can I help you?" He said, "Yes, I'd like to speak with you." And the father said, "I don't have time for you right now." He said, "Wait, I have something for you." And he handed the father of Charlie a letter. This is what the letter said. Listen to this. "Dear father and mother, I have been shot and have only a short time to live. And I'm writing to you this last farewell note. As I write, there is kneeling beside me my most and closest friend in the company. And when the war is over, he will bring you this note. And when he does, be kind to him for Charlie's sake. Your son, Charles." There was nothing too good for that ragged-looking young man because he was Charlie's friend. I want to tell you, there is nothing too good for those of us that have a real living relationship with Jesus Christ. That is real. There is nothing too good. Not for Charlie's sake, but for Jesus' sake. And I'm not just talking about chocolate chip cookies. But when we pray, I've given you so far two sermons. One talking about Jesus' prayer life and what that was and how outstanding and everything it means. And today's praying in His name and all that it means. Please, please take these home. Take these home. Make them yours. Make them yours. Let God the Father know that you're a friend of the King. Let Him know, not just, yeah, sometime. Let Him know. That's when there's power. That's when there's power. Amen. 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 Take a couple of minutes. Look to God, to the Holy Spirit, to shine His spotlight upon you, because we're going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper, and we want to be clean. So confess whatever you may have upon you this morning. May we do that. I'll hail the power of Jesus' name. The elders will be up here to pray for you if you have any special needs. Right up here in front. Pastor Stephen will be over here. If you have never asked Jesus into your life, if you have never done that, you have never received Him as your Lord and Savior, if you think that God has a scale and you hope that your good deeds are going to outweigh your bad deeds, God does not work that way. So Pastor Stephen will be glad to meet with you up here.
Dear Father, we thank You for coming here to worship You, Lord, to pray, Lord, together, to hear Your Scripture, and to learn from Your Word, Lord. We thank You we could look over these words during the week, Lord. We pray that we could truly have a more committed prayer life, Lord, a deeper relationship with Jesus, Lord. We pray that we can learn to pray as Jesus prayed, to learn what it means. We thank You, Lord, that we can study what it means to pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. I ask a blessing on everyone here, Lord. Watch over them this week, Lord. Bless them mightily. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.